time again for La Magicast and AS Roma podcast, where we guarantee that we will come out super strong, dominate the airwaves, only to collapse and have a horrible ending to our show week after week. Alex, Julian, how you guys doing?
All right. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good. You know what they say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I think we'll, as we get into the topics for today's show, going over Bologna and Parma for Roma, we'll find out that that is exactly the case for our beloved Yellow Reds.
Interesting intro.
Well, you know, I try to come up with ways to keep it fresh, and how we can possibly emulate our heroes on the pitch, and that would be the best way to do it, because that's the consistent message that they seem to want to send us.
Yeah, if we want to emulate them, we're going to have to disappoint people, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get into the first topic, which wasn't a disappointment. It was Montella's debut, and we played away against Bologna. This happened on the 23rd, so it was almost a week ago at this point, so we'll just cover it very briefly. This match was supposed to be played at the end of January, but it was suspended after heavy snow. So it picked up from where it left off, and we ended up winning 1-0. Girossi scored right on the brink of halftime, where we seemed to score a lot of goals. I remember we scored against Juve on a penalty in stoppage time in the first half. And we actually held out, and we held on to the 1-0 lead, and we pulled out the 3 points. Really notable was Pizarro's return to the starting lineup, and also Tade, who seems to be a favorite for Vincenzo. Both started on the bench for this one, as did Menez and Brizzi, but they all came on as a substitute. So what did you guys think overall? Glad for the 3 points, finally?
Yeah. Glad for the 3 points, especially glad to see Pizarro on the pitch again. Hopefully it will stay like that.
So for about 30 minutes then?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we always take the 3 points no matter how the guys on the pitch actually play. 3 points is 3 points, and they need as many of those as they can get, especially when you look at all the points they've turned away throughout the year. But additionally, I think it was good to get some of the questions that we had going into the game about Montella, tactically or personnel-wise, what he was going to do. And I know in the prior show we had talked about his relationship with Totti and if he would possibly be swayed by that. And certainly right off the bat, he's got him on the bench. So that was, I guess, good to see that he's going to play who he thinks should be out there. Despite talking about how good in form Francesco has been. So like I said in the intro, though, the more things change, the more they stay the same. With all the change that's happened with Roma, right back to the 4-2-3-1, and they played a very comfortable game, in my opinion, in that formation.
It was classic Spalletti at times, wasn't it? Derossi and Pizarro entering the midfield. We had Tade there. Of course, you know, like you said, I agree. I think he did a really good job answering his critics, where he wasn't afraid to bench Totti or Menez, and Juan was also on the bench for the Bologna game, which, you know, again, I would love to see Menez play as often as possible, but given that this is a new formation, he may not be, you know, it's a return to the way that we used to play, so if he uses some of the older players who have been here for longer to really figure it out before the other guys get into it, I'm all right with that. I think we saw that Borriello is probably not really sure what to do in this kind of formation yet. He's definitely got to grow into it. I think we look stronger. I know we're looking ahead a little bit to Parma. But when Tolkien is playing the one, he seems to know exactly how to link up with the three guys behind him. Borriello kind of seems a little, I don't want to say lost, but a little unsure of how to play the one in the way that Roma play the 4-2-3-1. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Borriello seems a bit, well, he was one of our best players the first half of the season. Now it seems a bit lost, and I have a feeling that might have something to do with Menez somehow going from being a starter to being on the bench all the time, because like we mentioned before, at least in my opinion, those two connect in a very good way on the pitch. And in my opinion, if you play Borriello, you should play Menez at the same time. now we play with Vucinic and Totti instead. It might be a reason why Borriello seemed a bit lost on the pitch. He doesn't have that assist king on the wing.
I'm going to agree overall with the overall concept, and we talked about this this is a while back. I can't remember how many shows ago, but looking at Francesco's success rates and how well he's done when he's the one up top and trying to work with another striker up top, whether it be Vucinic or Borriello, it just really hasn't clicked for either of the strikers. And seeing him up top, I think he was a lot more comfortable. He was allowed to play his game a little bit more. As we mentioned before, he's been in form lately, so that was fine. So Borriello, it hasn't really had a lot of time, at least certainly with Roma in this space, in that spot with that formation. So I think it looked like he really didn't know what to do in that role. So he needs a little bit of time. I think that Montella, if he had his ways, would have Borriello be the starter and Totti come on to sub him. The only problem with that is generally Borriello can run the full 90 and you know, probably another 15 or 20 after that. So there generally needs to be some sort of additional tactical change that would have to happen. The one thing I did like that Montella said, and I'd kind of been thinking this for a few weeks, and I believe we mentioned it on the show earlier, was that before the Bologna game, that he said that Roma cannot win currently using the Trident up front. And, you know, if you look at the last run of games when they were playing so poorly before Ranieri resigned, you know, there wasn't any change made from that strategic side. So he was kind of running out with the same formation. And, you know, listen, you're the tinker, man. Tinker, not just with personnel, but with the shape that you're going out there. And if it's just not working for one reason or another, yeah, you may score two or three goals, but you're giving up three or four. So something needed to change there. And I was surprised that he didn't make it, and I was very pleased to see that Montella ran out there with something that was a little bit more suited to the horses he had in the stable.
De Rossi's goal, which was the result of some fantastic work by Vucinic, constantly hounding, never giving up the chase for a ball, and De Rossi just playing a really nice shot past Viviano, which curled really nicely. So we got the 3 points. Montella comes on, he gets his debut win. Everyone's pretty happy at this point. And one thing I thought was pretty interesting to see was Totti was kind of following alongside Montella while he was, you know, coaching, and Totti hadn't been on the game yet. He was just kind of walking alongside, and they were constantly talking back and forth. So it was nice to see a coach that really connects with the players as opposed to, you know, all these rumblings about who doesn't like Ranieri, what's his deal with Pizzotto, blah, 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 blah. So it was just, I thought that was really nice to see. Do you guys have any closing comments about the game?
3 points.
3 points.
Yeah, there we go. That's all you really need to say, right? Right, so we went to play Parma. And this game kicked off at 9 on the East Coast, and this is the same problem Greg has, I'm sure. I didn't go to bed the night before until like 4 in the morning, so getting up was awful. And then getting up and having to watch the game and seeing the final result was almost enough to like make me jump out the window. But before we go that far, let's briefly go over the highlights. Totti got a penalty goal. And, Alex, you were really vocal on Twitter about this, so I want you to adjust the penalty a little bit here, if you will, where it was a pretty dubious penalty at best. So would you agree with that?
Yeah, I will. Well,
can you elaborate?
If you have been pretty lucky with the penalties this year, and
yeah,
I don't like that because people will use it against us.
If we are paying off anyone, we're doing a terrible job because we're mired in sixth place and 4 plus 5 points off of the Champions League spot. So I don't think this is a case of a Calciopoli 2, the Roma edition.
Oh, no.
But I think it was a 50-50 challenge, probably. But if he had given the penalty or if he hadn't given the penalty, I think either way I would have been okay because there's probably just enough there to warrant one. But Tadej also kind of ran into the defender at the same time, so I'm not really sure. I think it just kind of depends on how you looked at it. but it was definitely dubious, in my opinion.
I can't remember this 100% right now, but as I recall, it was a good tackle by the defender.
Yeah. He scores the goal, so we're up 1-0. It's the 19th minute, and everything seems to be going okay. Then the 36th minute comes, and Juan manages a nice little tap-in off of a corner. There's confusion going on. Girassi has a nice header, and we get the 2-0. Now, at this point, I'm freaking out, because whenever we take the kind of lead like this early in the game, what's always going through my mind is, like, how soon is it going to be before we capitulate? And sure as shit, Amari pops up in the second half with one of the goals, probably the best goal I've ever seen him score. And I was just stunned that, you guys saw the goal. So it was just beautiful, like, back heel in the air, just, like, dinking across in with the back of his foot, past Donny and into the net. And everyone just kind of stood there looking on in disbelief, because this was Amari, the guy who hadn't scored in almost a year for Juventus. Juve fans are clamoring for him to leave. He finally leaves, and, of course, he would pick Roma to be the team to get back into form against.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. I think they were playing a pretty good defensive game up until that point. And it's just every once in a while you're going to give up a goal that's completely based off of class. And when that happens, it's no big deal unless you're Roma, because we all know as soon as that goal was scored, everybody got tight, panic set in, and you knew that the second and probably a third and maybe even a fourth was coming shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
I'm not mad, because I think the goal was class, like you said. I'm just upset that it was Amori. Like, if that had been Astore or Cavani, I would have been like, fine. You know what? Like, they're good players. But, of course, that'd be one of the crappiest strikers in the league up until then to do something like that against us. It's classic Roman luck, or lack thereof, that causes things like that.
Yeah, I know. We did everything correct up till a point. A freak move by Amori and then panic. So
yeah, then we saw the classic, panic mentality kick in, and we eventually conceded a second goal. So we ended up just with the draw, which, given the way the things went at the weekend, wasn't terrible, because Juve lost and Palermo got absolutely wrecked 7-0 by Udinese, and Lazio lost as well. So we actually gained a point on most of our rivals, with the exception, of course, of Udinese. But then, you look at that in the other direction, and we could have gained 3 points on our rivals, and say we only have one. But luckily, we didn't slip down the table. We moved up a tiny bit. And we're
if
only
this
five
is November, that's fine. Yeah, if this is November, that's fine. But at this point of the season, you can't be dropping 2 points. It's impossible. There's only so many points left on the table, and they have a lot of room to make up if they want to get to fourth. So this, to me, was another bitter, bitter tie.
Yeah. It's been too many of those already, so I don't know about you guys, but I'm already mentally prepared for something else than top four.
I mean, when we look back on the season, I think we're just going to look at it as a season of comebacks, because, as I think James Horncastle tweeted, we have lost from winning positions 9 times this season. We just cannot, like, think about how many weekends that is. We've gone, if that happened consecutively, it would have been 2 months and then a week when we would have went up with the lead, and then we just came behind to either tie or lose. Or not, we didn't come behind. The teams came from behind against us. So it's just astonishing how poor we are at being able to maintain a lead. And it's really odd, too, because if you look at Bayern, for some reason, earlier in the season when we went down to a team that good, we were able to rally ourselves and score 3 goals. But when we have the lead, I don't know what it is about the confidence going on, but that is by far the biggest problem we have. And we have quite a few problems. Our wingbacks are really bad. Reese is in probably the worst form of his life. But our inability to just hold on when we have to is absolutely bleeding points from us. Points that we really earn that we just can't hold on to.
Is it a stamina problem?
It could be. I remember Montella after the game said that the player's fitness wasn't what it should be, which is kind of concerning, because we are late in the season and we do have a small squad and we're in the Champions League. But you just basically asked the question, why? Is it just because we're a small squad? Was it the training methods that Ranieri was using? Was he overworking the players? It reminds me a lot of what happened at Inter when Benitez was there. A lot of the players had all these niggling injuries, and it seemed to be because he was maybe pushing them a little too physically in training, and then when they went to play, they would very easily pull something or, rip a tendon. So it's, I don't know what it is, but it's got to get worked out because we can't afford, like Greg said, we really can't afford to draw points like this against the likes of Parma, who are in a relegation battle.
It's hard to judge Montella from two games, but at least it seems like the players are working harder now than 2 weeks ago with Ranieri. And it's good to see them putting more effort into the game, but at the same time, why couldn't they do it under Ranieri?
I think they were just fed up with him, to be perfectly honest, right?
Yeah, but that's, I guess that's the explanation. But it's provoking at the same time. A fellow Romanista also told me that he was provoked by seeing Vucinic putting more effort into his runs and stuff like that. And yeah, I guess they wanted a new manager. So they got it, and now they're putting 10-20% more into their own effort. So I guess we look a bit better on the Montella, but at the same time, we do the same mistakes we have. Obviously, we still have that mentality problem. But I just hope that Pizarro will be the key. I really believe that losing him this year, so much of the season has been hurting us a lot more than we realize. So
yeah, and I thought I'd use the word hurting us because he was really good in the game, and then of course, I think it was Jovinko gave him a challenge, a pretty light challenge, and he fell down, and it looked like it might have been the recurrence of the injury that kept him out, and he had to get stretchered off. But after the game, they did scans the next day, and it looked like it was just something minor, and from what the reports have said, he should be back for the return tie against Shakhtar, which is really good, because if we have any prayers of beating them, we're going to need him in our side, I think.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's too late to salvage the season, but you can never say never. It's really close in the league, and well, even though Shakhtar haven't lost at home for too many games to count, we can always remember the Valencia game. They said the same thing about Valencia, so let's just hope we can shock Shakhtar.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a 2-0 reversal, right? That's enough to at least to get us through. And
we have to win by 2 goals away, which is pretty hard to do. Only because Shakhtar haven't lost in the league, or they haven't lost at home since 2008. So this is
yeah, but I mean,
okay, home for a little bit. That's a long time. Like if that was Mourinho, people are talking about Mourinho. He's been unbeaten 9 years at home now. But that's impressive. 3 years unbeaten at home is quite good.
It is, and I don't want to take anything away from them or the league that they play in. But this is different. This is Champions League games, and strange things happen, like giving up 3 away goals. Like Roma did, in Rome, and Roma coming back against Bayern, in their situation. So, anything can happen, and what they have to do is not insurmountable. Is it likely or probable? Probably not. But what they have to do, a 2-0 win at its bare minimum, is not an unattainable result.
No, it's true. We definitely can do it, but if you look at our run of games coming up, the next 5 weeks are going to be quite crucial for us. We have Lecce away at the weekend, Shakhtar away next Tuesday, then we have the Derby next Sunday, a week after that away to Fiorentina, and then April 2nd we play Juve at home. So that's the next 5 weeks, those are all pretty tough matches, and unfortunately, pretty much all of them are must-wins for us. Just don't have any more time to gain points. If we want to go through the Champions League, we have to win. We have to beat Lazio at the very least, because that is really truly a 6-pointer. I know it's a
6-point,
yeah. It really is.
Don't forget that we have Udinese and Palermo the two games after Juventus. So 5-6 games that are crucial. So
yeah, we don't really have too many quote-unquote easy games left. If you look at the schedule, probably the easiest ones we have are Lecce, next weekend. And then we have Chievo on the 22nd of April, and then Bari on the 30th, and Catania in May. And then we end, of course, we end with Sampdoria on the last day of the season, which, who knows, depending on how the season goes, could very well be one of the games that decides if we go into the Champions League or not.
Well, we have Catania away, so that's probably not a victory for us, given our history there, so...
Don't forget, we had Inter in the Coppa Italia between, let's see, it was the 20th of April and the 11th, the return leg on the 11th of May. So, there's just a lot of hard games left. We don't have an easy run in.
But the other teams doesn't have that as well. I guess it's the same thing for everyone, but... we can afford to lose one game perhaps here, but we are depending on other teams to make mistakes. And as long as we do our job, it's not a guarantee that we get the fourth spot, but, you know, if we start to impress, at least we can hope, but I'm not sure we can expect us to be, in a good form when we still have problems beating a team like Parma, who we always beat Parma, and we suddenly this time we didn't. So this is the season where everything seems to go wrong, and that's why I'm not giving up, guys, but I'm not just...
You're just moving away from the mic?
Yeah. I'm moving away.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, and I think you know, the bulk of our listening audience, if you will, or any Roma fan, feels the same way. I mean, there's only so much you can do to us as a fan before we start to break down, just like the players when they play too much. You know, they're going to break down, and we've had our heartstrings, you know, tugged too much over the last, certainly this year, but, I mean, last year obviously was great from the you know, that early stage to the end, but there were, you know, hiccups there. And if you look at the past 5 years in total, I mean, it's been that same song. And I think that's what's got me. And I know Julian, we've talked about a little bit, offline, excited about the new ownership coming in and hopefully between depth and some other players to be brought in, that they can finally shake this mentality and performance run that they've had, which a lot of teams would love to have the record and the performances that Roma's put out there, but, you know, that's just not good enough for us.
Yeah,
we're caught between a rock and a hard place, aren't we? Because on one hand, it's kind of hard to care about this season when we know that in the summer we're going to have new owners, probably a new coach, and God knows how many new players. But on the other hand, you kind of have to, you know, this is the Roma team we have now, the one we've loved for so many years. And I want them to succeed, but I just can't help but wonder if the players are also just kind of thinking, you know what, you know, maybe we can auto-tune our way through the end of the season and just get to the summer, because it's just some of our performances, especially towards Ranieri's latter end, were just so poor that you wonder if the guys were even trying, if they were trying to get Ranieri fired, what was going through their minds. And at this point, I don't know, I'm kind of... I would like it to do well this season, but part of me is just to not wait until the summer comes, and hopefully we just have a whole clearing out.
Well, it's just weird because the Champions League money could guarantee a future where we don't rely on selling. But if we get new owners, hopefully they didn't get scared of the results from the last weeks, well, you never know, but if they take over and we lose the fourth spot and Champions League next year, the red numbers would be much worse than we would be with Champions League, so we might end up with a situation where we have to sell perhaps Vucinic or Menez if he doesn't renew his contract. instead of getting Champions League and, you know, having not to think about the depth we are in and stuff like that. So it really matters that we get that spot, but if we don't, what will that mean for the team? I don't think we will be spending too much money. I'm pretty sure we have to sell important assets in our squad.
And Dalai, he said it again today. He's repeatedly stated that should Mexes ever be ever not renew his contract, Milan are interested. He said it. He says it like almost every day now. He's always, you know, reiterating their interest in him.
He probably says that as much as Ancelotti says that it would be his dream to coach Roma, but not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. No, one day.
One day. But it is my dream, though. Just in case you haven't heard that. It's definitely my dream, just maybe not right now.
If we look at who we might have to sell realistically, should it come to that? Because, to be honest, I'm pretty pessimistic about our chances of getting to fourth, only because Lazio was still 5 points clear, and Udinese have been fantastic from the past few months, and they're 4 points ahead of us. And if they can just keep up, I mean, they got Dario Rossi fired from Palermo. Like, that's a big deal. I know Zambrini and him had problems, but they gave him 7-0, which is nothing to sniff at. And Alex Sanchez is so good, I would highly doubt he's still there next year. I think a big club's going to come in and swoop for him. I think Udinese, more than Lazio, are our rivals for fourth. I think Juve and Palermo are pretty much out of the running at this point. I know we're only 2 points above Juve, but they've been in such crap form recently that I can't see them running the ship. It looks like Del Neri might be on his way out, too. Palermo, God knows what they're going to do under Cosmi.
The funny thing is that the Juventus fans and their podcasts are saying the same thing about Roma. They don't count us in the chase for the fourth spot, but they count themselves in the same chase. So I guess...
So we're both delusional?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm afraid it won't be Juventus and it won't be Roma, so...
We are above them in the table. It's not a...
Yeah.
If we were below you, I'd probably say we were out of the running entirely. I would give us only like maybe a 20% chance. But I think Juve probably have no chance at this point, only because if we're chasing Udinese and Lazio, they're chasing them two plus us. So, you know, every step down on the table is that much further away from fourth.
They have some of the same problems we have. I'm pretty sure it will be Roma, Udinese, Lazio, and you can never, you know, write off Juventus. But as you said, Udinese, they are having, well, an amazing run at the moment, playing some amazing football. But I'm not convinced that they are the real deal to the bitter end. It's hard to say, but I will be very impressed if they keep doing what they're doing. To the end.
Agreed. Julian, you want to bounce out those questions for us?
Really quickly, right before we go there, I just want to mention, I think we kind of have to mention Adriano, because it looks like he's finally back in Italy, and Roma's really upset with him because he missed his flight. He came out and said he thought he had a doctor's appointment, and they moved it, and he thought it was the wrong day, and it was just like, it was kind of bullshit excuse. So Football Italia kind of took this story and ran with it, saying that the most likely next step would be to rescind his contract. But I've looked through the statements from the club, and the club really hasn't said that. They kind of said they would give him a fine and they would review his case. But I don't think anyone from the club said that they would cut up his contract. So
well,
we might want to be careful with just how far we hope with this.
Wishful thinking.
Montali was pretty... Well, he wasn't straightforward, but I guess the journalists were... kind of interpreting that he said he, you know, apology would not cut it this time. I guess
it's... Right, well, they said they would give him a heavy fine. And don't get me mistaken, I would love it if we just rescinded his contract, but I don't want to be set up for yet another Roman disappointment this season should his contract not be terminated. So I just want everyone to be aware of that. It could be, but... as of right now, it doesn't seem like they're going to do that. They'll probably just make him pay 2 weeks' wages or something like that. And he said he's back and he apologizes. He wants to give Roma a helping hand. I don't know how he can do that.
We're already struggling for who to play where up front.
Yeah, he's definitely not the answer to that question, that's for sure.
We hope that he's gone next week.
Right.
Agreed.
I think we can all agree on.
Let's go to the Twitter questions.
All right. So we only had one this week. It's from Daje Roma 10. And he asked us, what formation do you think Montella will put out there for the Lecce match, given no Totti? Totti was suspended on yellow card accumulation. So what formation do we think he's going to go with? Given what he's played so far, I think we'll see a 4-2-3-1. But Peck is also injured, so what seems likely to me is we'll have De Rossi and maybe Briggy and Green together. And up front, probably Borriello leading in front of, if we go based on, you know, what he's done so far, Tade, Vucinic, and either Simplicio or Perota, someone to play right in the center of those two.
Yeah, and I actually like that. I like, if you, especially if you have Perota in the middle, looking at the, you know, the track back that he can provide and always has. But looking at the pincers there of Vucinic and Menez, and, you know, they're going to leave a lot to be desired with their ability and desire to get back. But I think that's, I think both of them can provide great service to Borriello and give him that help that he needs in this formation that he really hasn't gotten just yet.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, Greg, that I would love to see Menez out there, but do you think we'll see him given that, Montella seems to prefer Tade so far? Do you think maybe we'll see Tade out there again instead of Menez?
Because my brain wants to say no so badly because I don't want to see him out there. You know, I think that's what kind of clouds my mind. You know, I'll leave it at the fact that he has been the number one choice for him, so there's a great possibility that he goes back to him.
I guess your lineup was good, Julian, but if he was to do something different, I just hope it would be Borriello and Menez from the start, even though it seems Vucinic seemed to have earned his spot, and it would take a lot for him to lose it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he, since Totti is out, I guess it would be risky to put Menez, Borriello, and Vucinic all in from the start. So perhaps it's Borriello and Vucinic, but I'm hoping it would be Menez and Borriello, and use Vucinic as a super sub. But one of them will definitely be the super sub, so we have to wait and see.
So, we actually just got one more Twitter question from DLA, who asks, after Parma, what are your expectations for the rest of the season? I'm going to keep this short, and I'm not very optimistic, so I think we're probably going to end up right where we are right now in either fifth or sixth, and I think we're going to go out in the Champions League this round, after you play Shakhtar, and I'd love to be proven wrong, but I just can't see it happening right now.
I'll just be short and agree.
I think we would be, instead of fighting for a Champions League spot, I think the last games of the season will be a fight for Europa League.
Everyone's dream to play in the Europa League. And we got one email, so that's how we can close out the show. It's from Jay Scardinia. And he says, ciao, Julian, Alex, and Greg. With the American owners coming
ciao.
In, do you think in a few years... ciao right back at you, Greg. With American owners coming in, do you think in a few years we could see some American players come into Roma or possibly into Serie A? It seems that the only European league embracing American players is Barclays. So he has another question, but we can discuss this one first. And I'm going to say... it's possible, and if they are getting into Serie A, it'd definitely be to Roma because we have the American owners. But I don't really know too many Americans right now that I would like to see on Roma, with the exception of Michael Bradley, who I think is a very good box-to-box midfielder. But other than him, I don't really think I would like anybody else.
Yeah, I guess I don't really see an American stepping in. I mean, Onyewu was the best at the back, and really couldn't cut it. Now, granted, a player like Bradley that you mentioned is probably the type of player that you could see perform a little bit better because there's a little less riding on every move they make as opposed to a center back. But, yeah, I don't necessarily see it coming. I don't necessarily see the tie to American owners bringing them over as well.
I don't have much to add, really. So I guess as a squad player, there's always room for good players. And United States, they have a good national team, but that's like, you know, picking out the best players. I'm afraid that someone from the U.S. is not my... I guess it's not the first thought that comes to my mind. I don't know the league or the players that good, so I can't blame it on that. But I have a friend, he grew up there, and he told me he believes that the United States will be the next... produce a lot of great players in the future. So in the long term, I guess you can expect to see more good American players in Europe. So why not in Italy?
There's one player I would love who's American, and he's from New Jersey, my boy, and he actually went to high school with one of my sister's best friends, and his name is Giuseppe Rossi. I would love for him to be on Roma, but I don't think that's going to happen, sadly. I think that's another Roma delusion that I have. So the second part of the question Jay asked was one thing about the match against Parma, Roma's passing game was poor, and it was no surprise it improved some when Menez and Simplicio were in on the pitch. And I think that's a pretty good observation. They're both very technically gifted players, especially Menez, who I know gets accused a lot of always falling down and maybe gives the ball away a little too easily, but there's no doubting his talent. And when he plays and when he's raring to go, he's quite good. And I told you, Simplicio has really grown on me this season, and I think he's a really good asset to have on the team as well. So I think they'll probably sooner or later earn their spots back in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think Montel is pretty much just putting everybody on trial right now and seeing what they can do. The best thing about the games coming up this week is that they actually will have had more than 2 hours to practice. So I'm really interested to see what they can do with basically a full week of Montella-type practices. And there's a very good chance that he ran them out there the first two games at the 4-2-3-1 because he knew that that was something they already knew and they didn't have to adjust to. But, maybe now with a little bit of practice, he's starting to infuse a little bit more of his own personality into the squad. So I'm really curious to see what happens. And one closing element on the U.S. players, without question, they've come a long way, and I'm very proud of what they've done as a nation, and they've made some really good strides at the World Cup for and the national team perspective and the development teams. So I definitely agree with your friend Alex. I think that the future is definitely bright. I would just rather, for Roma's sake, focus on building their own youth system than trying to like gimmick in a U.S. player because we have a U.S. owner. That's where I'd like to see them focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do have a pretty good youth system. Pettinati was on the bench. Viviani was on the bench for one of Montella's games. So he is calling up guys and at least training them with the first team. And, it did give us the Rossi before. So who knows? We could have something great hidden in our Primavera. And that was the last of our questions. So before we go, I just wanted to ask you guys real quick, score prediction against Lecce. We're away. It's going to be Friday at 2:45 me and Greg's time. I think that's 7:45 Alex's time. I'm going to go with Borriello Doppietta because I think it's been way too long since he scored, and I'd love for him to get back on the sheet.
1-1.
Wow. Brilliant damper.
Yeah, I'm going 2-0. Roma.
Who do you guys think is going to score for us? Who's going to be our clutch player of the match?
Yeah, I got no idea. I only do scores, pal.
We should just be thankful Greg's here for this closing segment of the pod. It's been
I'm counting on some major catastrophe to happen in the next 5 minutes.
The phone doesn't die. It might just explode, so be careful. Well, that concludes the questions and preview section of La Magie Pass. And unless you guys have anything else you wanted to discuss, then we could wrap it up.
I didn't answer or give my opinion to the last question, but I would say, just to add that, given that our midfielders is too much about kick and run, I guess the only thing that can salvage the rest of the season is that Pizarro gets back and into the same form he had last year. So, if that happens, I would say positive.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Good point. Programming note for all of you listening out there, we will have our next podcast after the Shakhtar game, not following Lecce. So we will have another two games to report on for that podcast. And for Alex and for Julian and for all the people that sent in the numerous questions and emails that we get routinely on a weekly basis, I want to say thank you. And I hope we answered your questions to your satisfaction. We kid about it, but we love getting the questions and the emails and the Twitter comments, and it's great to know that everybody wants to know this stuff and that you respect our opinions enough to ask us. So thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead, Alex, take it away.
And before you say goodbye, do you know that Mina listens to this show because of me?
Of course, because of the wonderful things that you say. It wouldn't be our podcast if we didn't mention Armina. So, excellent job, Al.
Okay, close it.
All right, guys. Grazie, Roma.
Ciao.
Ciao.